Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Galazzo, joined as always by Peter Flaherty. What's going on, Peter?
Not much. I'm doing well. This is, I think, one of our favorite episodes that we do every year. So I'm extra fired up.
I'm super excited. So today we are going to, is this the third year we've done this, Peter?
Second, I believe.
Okay. So today we're going to, for only the second time, draft tools from college players in the 2025 class in an attempt to create the best college hitters and college pitchers that we can. So it's more of a just kind of a fun exercise, because obviously if you're mismatching different tools with different players, you're creating some weird Frankenstein that maybe can't actually exist in reality. But we'll get to highlight some of the more exciting players in the class. We'll try and outsmart each other with either our knowledge of the players or maybe strategy of this game. So it'll be pretty straightforward for the most part. We're going to be drafting four hitters, five tools, the basic five tools for position players. So hit, power. We'll do raw power specifically here, since I think hit is going to capture a little bit of that game power. So just raw power is the tool we're drafting. Run, running ability or speed, fielding, and then arm strength for our position players. And then for our pitchers, we're also going to keep it pretty standard here. The five tools for pitchers. So four of the main pitch types: fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. And then the non-pitch category is command. We're doing command specifically. I don't know if you want to say let's do control instead, because in the handbook we do grade control instead of command. Do you have a preference for IDing whether it's control or command we're taking, Peter? I'm kind of indifferent. I thought command in my head, but how we do it at BA is more typically control, so I'm fine to just call it control if you want.
Yeah, I like command. I don't have a preference either, and it won't really affect who I've got. So
okay, cool. Yeah, same for me. But that's kind of how it's going to work. I think we're going to throw a new wrinkle in it this year just to add a little bit more strategy, a little bit more excitement, maybe get a few more names in. So I believe last year we had no limits on the number of tools you could take from any individual player. Off the top of my head, I'll assume that Chase Burns was chosen for probably fastball and slider. But this year we're going to say as soon as one player is taken for any tool, that player cannot be picked again. So there's another layer of strategy here. Depending on if you have one guy who has multiple categories, and that's kind of it. We'll leave it up to you guys to decide who you're most excited about, these theoretical players we're making, and hopefully have a fun time doing it. Do you have any thoughts on strategy before, Peter, or do you want to talk through that afterwards? I don't know if we want to give each other too much insight, but I went a little more detailed than last year in terms of my prep.
So did I. I've got for each category, which is five categories for each hitter and pitcher, I've got mm-hmm. Four or five names. So I'm hoping that I don't get boxed in.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to, but if I do, it'll get kind of weird, but I kind of want to start with a good foundation. So
yeah.
I'm kind of TBD on where I'll go first, but that's, I guess, the little strategy that I've got.
Yeah. So I've got at least three players for every category. Most I have four. One category I have seven, which feels like overkill, but we'll see. And then I have a few priority players that I have listed down as real options for multiple categories. So maybe I'll want to get aggressive with those guys and try and box you out of multiple categories with one player. And then I also went through each of the tools and I tried to give them a preference or a priority order in terms of, hey, I view this tool as pretty thin. I think there's one clear cut guy or another tool where I view as pretty muddled, a lot of options that I don't view a ton of separation. So that's kind of how I did it. I'm going to try and balance the the depth or my perception of the depth of each tool category with kind of the priority players. I have a pretty good idea of who I would take if I had the first pick, but we'll have to figure out who's going first.
You can go first if you want.
No. You're not just going to hand it to me. Do you know who went first last year? Because we can either do the inverse of that, or we can do a coin flip live on the podcast.
I don't think I remember. We can just go live coin flip.
Let's flip a coin. So I'm just using the Google coin flip here. You can't see my screen, but you'll just have to trust me, Peter. So you call it and I'll flip it.
I'll go tails. Tails never fails. It's going to be heads now.
All right. It is tails. So you have the first pick. Congratulations. You'll defer.
Okay. Yeah, I'll defer. You can go 1-1.
Oh, you're crazy for that. All right.
I honestly just want to see what route you're going to go first.
Okay, let's see here. So I'm definitely going to go to the pitching side first. There are two categories that I'm really intrigued with, and I think I'm going to use one of my priority players here.
I have a feeling who's going to be.
Oh, I'm really tempted, though, because I feel like there's a gap between... You know what? Actually... I'm not going to take one of my priority players. I'm going to take what I view as one of the bigger gaps. Okay, so I'm going to go get my fastball first and foremost.
You think there's a gap in that category?
Maybe not. I mean, I think what I'm looking at maybe is giving me like a false illusion of the difference between number one and two. But the fact that you say that makes me maybe not want to go fast. I've already said
it. I'm just trying to get in your head.
So I'm going to go fastball, and I am going to take AJ Russell, right-handed pitcher at Tennessee. He has one of the more unique fastballs in the class. Just kind of going over this pitch. Last year, it averaged 93.7 miles per hour. It gets up to 97-98 miles per hour. In looking at some of the top college pitchers in the class, so everyone we have ranked top 100 right now on our draft board, which I do think there are going to be some pitchers who will move into that on our next update. His swinging strike rate on the fastball is pretty significantly better than anyone else in the class. And swinging strike rate, differentiating it from miss rate for any who need that clarification, that is the amount of whiffs you get per pitch thrown. Whereas if you use miss rate specifically, it's whiffs per swing. So his swing strike rate in the 2024 season with Tennessee on that pitch was 23.6%. No one else cleared the 20% threshold of that top 100 ranked college pitcher category. He throws from this lower arm slot. It's a two-seam fastball with a lot of run. I'm looking at numbers that say more than 17 inches of horizontal break. It comes from a really low release height. I think he's also one of like two pitchers on this list of top 100 players, top 100 college players with a sub 60 inch release height. The vertical approach angle is -4.24. So all these numbers are kind of silly. He gets swing and miss throughout the zone. So I think in terms of power, shape, release point, all of that, like performance, I'm going to go with AJ Russell's fastball. I think there's some other ones that are intriguing, but as I was going over this, I was most excited about like the gap between Russell and whoever's number two on the fastball list. So that's what I got for pick one.
Good pick. That was my 1-1 for fastball. And if I accepted the coin toss, I guess you could say that's probably what was going to go as well, but you hit on it perfectly. It's a 70 for me. I think a lot this spring stock wise hinges on how healthy he is and if he's able to stay healthy, because last year was a little bit of an issue. It hampered him. And then also just from a power standpoint, what everything looks like. Obviously the fastball is his calling card, but like, what do the breaking balls look like? Mm-hmm. How are they able to progress? Because right now I don't want to call him a one trick pony because, I don't want to insult the kid, but I like, it is the fastball and everything else, but he's got a chance.
Yeah.
I was talking to a scout
recently who basically said, like, echoed a lot of what you said. There are a lot of questions that he has beyond the fastball, but he was like, that fastball is so good that if he performs and doesn't really make improvements, it still would be shocking to see him sneak in the back of the first, just given the quality of that pitch.
The fastball alone is going to have him go in a really good spot. It's just like a matter of, I think, how high can he go? And I mm-hmm. think ceiling wise, in terms of, you know, where he ends up being selected, it's rather high. It's just, there are a lot of what ifs, but
yeah,
someone I'm really excited to watch. But let's see. I like your ideology of going into a category where you kind of perceive there's like a, like you want to get that guy off the board. And I yeah. think for, at least with Bremner, it kind of takes him off for potential for it, it taking his changeup off the board is brutal.
So that's what you're doing here?
No. I'm saying like there with Bremner, he fits into multiple buckets, but I actually think this is an interesting route to go first, but I'm going to take Merrick Houston's glove.
Okay. I think that's a good one. That's a good call.
Yeah. Because I'd be handcuffed otherwise. If you took him, certainly there were another couple names I had here, but mm-hmm. we've talked about Merrick at length. Just an outstanding shortstop, comfortably plus defender. The actions are outstanding. He's got soft hands. He's got arm strength. Really low heartbeat. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it's what you look for. And he's without a doubt a pro shortstop. And I think he's a big league shortstop. So I'm going to take Merrick Houston's glove
as
my fielder.
I think that's a good move. He was number one on my fielding tool board as well. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my field now. And I also thought like, so I've got players for field and I've got players for arm and they're different positions. And I always feel a little weird if I have one fielder at X position and then an arm from Y position. Cause like when you see players who play infield and outfield, sometimes the arms just play differently from different positions. So now maybe I'm in a position where I can match that up easier. Cause I did have Houston at the top and then I've got a few different arm candidates who are at other positions. So this maybe will make that at least feel a little bit better for me. But I'm thrilled, Peter, that you did not take Tyler Bremner and his changeup, because that was the category I was really torn with, because I think either fastball and changeup were the two categories where I felt like there was a clear number one. So I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of you going for Merrick Houston, and I'm going to take Tyler Bremner's changeup. I've got Bremner included in another category. I think he would be a good fit in that category as well. But I guess I can tell you now because he's off the board entirely, but I also had him at the top of my command category. But I'm just going to go with the changeup. I feel like there are some other interesting changeup candidates that we'll talk about maybe when you make your pick. But his is such a monstrous weapon. It has tremendous depth. I think we've had a lot of scouts throw double plus grades on that pitch. He uses it as frequently or more than his slider. It's definitely his most consistent secondary right now. I'm just pulling up the data so I can tell you guys a little bit more about it. But last spring with UCSB, he threw the pitch. We can get this to load. He threw the pitch nearly 30% of the time. He throws it around 83-84 miles per hour. He got a 46% miss rate with the changeup, and it just has a great combination of arm side movement and tumble out of the hand. His feel for it is impressive. I think he repeats it well. It comes out of the arm with similar arm speed to the fastball for me. He can throw it to righties and lefties. He can double up on it. I really just think it's probably one of the better changeups in this class overall. I'll go with Bremner's changeup here and feel pretty excited about that.
Yeah, best, I'd say best changeup in the draft for sure. And full disclosure, when I was talking after your Russell pick about like being off the board in multiple categories, I had my notes for Bremner pulled up and like looking at Bremner's name. So I got my wires crossed and like took Bremner off of my board. I was still going to go with Houston's glove.
But okay, when
I
was like, good.
Oh, that takes him off multiple categories now. I swear to God, I was looking at like Bremner's notes and like all of Bremner's stuff. But
oh, no.
Heavily endorse that pick. I'm with you that it's the best. His changeup's the best of its kind in the draft. You summed it up really well. And
yeah,
I'd give it a 70. You got a monster arm going right now with
I Russell do. With that Cedar fastball and that changeup, it's crazy combo.
That's elite. But I regardless, I had a feeling you were potentially going to go Bremner 1-1. So I did throw in a decent backup changeup that I'm still reasonably excited about and is kind of a sleeper candidate. But I'll stick with my hitter then and try and build him out as best I can, because the Russell Heater and Bremner changeup combo is just, I think, impossible to top. So I'll go with I want a good foundation with a good hit tool. I'll go with Cam Cannarella's hit tool.
He's also, I would say, a priority player for me. I had him on three different categories here.
I was going to say, I had him in my run category, and then also I had him as another potential glove.
That actually really kills me, but go ahead and talk about his hit tool. I'll elaborate more.
Yeah, really, so I mean, it's pick. He's got a really advanced feel for the barrel, easy plus, borderline double plus contact skills. It was a 91% in zone contact rate last year. It was 92% against fastballs in the zone. And then he makes contact at a outstanding clip, even against secondaries. They aren't a particular bugaboo for him. He adjusts well in his swing with a sound approach. But it's a really impressive track record with the bat already. And it's for me, in this year's draft, there aren't a whole lot of legit plus hit tool guys. Like, there are a few more. And for this category, I think I had four or five guys that I'd feel reasonably confident about. Probably three guys I'd feel really good about, Cannarella being one of them. But I feel good in nabbing his hit tool at this point. I think that's one of the few in this draft that I can hang a 60 on with some degree of conviction.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty phenomenal pick. It's like, after you took Merrick Houston for your fielding tool, I was really eyeing up Cam Cannarella for my fielding, for his defense in center field. That was probably going to be the area that I went. And I was like, oh, I can kind of sit back on Cannarella now. Peter already has his fielding. And I was like, I forgot that Cannarella was a really good target in a number of different categories. I had him on my running category as well. So I like this one. This one boxes me out a little bit. Cool. Yeah, I think the hit tool was the category that I was like least excited about of this year's group of players. We talked about it on last episode as well. Just not a ton of great pure hit tools. So I've got a lot of guys who I view in a similar range. So I guess I'm going to have to sit back and wait on that one now. I have
a feeling for that category, we had the exact same three, four, or five guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you
seven. Disclose it after.
Yeah, I'll tell you my seven after I make mine pick. But since I've got a pretty good foundation for my pitcher, I think I'm going to try and get a big tool for my hitter, and I'm going to go power. You can already tell me who I'm taking because it's pretty obvious. Who am I taking, Peter?
You're going to take that outfielder from A&M. I'm blanking on his name. I know you're going with Jace's power.
Actually, I'm going to go with Nolan Schubart's power. So
I like it.
So we're going raw power. I think that distinction helps me make the separation here. But yeah, I think you could make a case that Laviolette has some of the best raw power in the class. It's like a pretty easy 70 for me. He was at the top of our exit velocity chart last week when we looked at kind of like plotting contact, power, exit velocity for players in the class. He takes massive swings. He's this huge physical left-handed hitter who gets the ball in the air a ton. His 90th percentile exit velocity last spring was 111.6 miles per hour, peak EV around 115. I don't necessarily think you need to read too much into peak exit velocities for college hitters, but his average exit velocity was like 97.1 miles per hour. I think he was right side by side with guys like Jack Caglione and Charlie Condon from last year's class. If you compare all three of their 90th percentile EVs, it was Condon 112, Cags 111.7, and Nolan Schubart 111.6. In terms of average EV, Condon was 97.3, Schubart was 97.1, Cags is 94 miles per hour. I would imagine Jack's data is actually better than that, but he plays at Florida and we have like a much smaller sample for his just batted ball events. But I think Schubart's raw power rivals anyone in this class, including Jace Laviolette. And that'll keep Jace on the board for you if that's where you want to go. But I did have Jace, I guess I can say this now, I did have Jace number two on my power board.
Yeah, I had Nolan as well. That's a great pick, and especially when building these guys out, when you have Nolan Schubart's raw power, which has already played well in game at Oklahoma State and then also on the Cape this summer, and you supplement that with a potentially 60 grade hit tool, it's going to allow it to play up even more, because right now for Schubart, not to roast him, it's like a 40-45 hit. So I mean, you could 60 hit tool,
that feels generous too. I mean, you could give him worse than that. He made contact at a 63% rate last year. The strikeouts are a real concern. I mean, he doesn't expand the zone too frequently. That's kind of been the saving grace for him. He's like a more extreme version of what Jace Laviolette has been in college for me. So
yeah, so I mean, you take his 40 hit tool and you bump it up to a 60. That's as good of a hit power combo as I think you can get, along with, you know, I'm sure Jace will get picked at some point. But yeah, it's a great pick. I gotta start my arm.
Okay.
And I'm gonna take Jamie Arnold's slider.
Yeah.
Similarly to Bremner's changeup, it's one of, if not the best, of its kind in this year's draft. It's got tons of lateral movement with plenty of sharpness. Effective against both left and right-handed hitters, but especially against lefties. It essentially starts behind them or on the hitter's front hip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also got an advanced feel for it. So, I mean, he can locate it, he can land it for strikes, he can get swings and misses with it in and out of the zone. It's against righties, it's got that same length, but it's got some depth to the point where he can back foot it. He can front door and back door for strikes at a 41% whiff rate in 2024. Comfy 60 for me, slam dunk plus pitch and a legit out pitch at that. So I'll take Arnold slider.
Yeah, another good pick. I mean, I think Jamie Arnold is one of these priority players I had. I had him down in three different categories: fastball, slider, and the command category. Now between Arnold and Bremner, both my top command pitchers are off the board, but I like that one. Yeah, he's just got such a unique angle that he throws from. And now I think I'm going to try and just make your life a little more difficult to round your pitcher out, because you got one pitch down. I think I might go get the next breaking ball, although I don't know if there's a huge gap between whoever I have one and whoever I have two and whoever you might have. But I'm going to go grab my curveball now and see if I can just make your life a little more painful, just have a little more fun with that. And I'm going to take Cam Leiter's curveball. I'm not sure if that was number one on your board. He was number one on mine.
He was my 1-1.
Yeah, so there are a couple of decent options. I had some maybe sleeper picks here we can talk through that maybe had some more like pure spin and depth to the curveballs. But really what I liked about Cam Leiter's curveball is just the amount of swing and miss he got. Not a ton of in zone, but he had a 46% miss rate with this pitch. Last spring, he throws it around 25-29% of the time. It's around 78-82 miles per hour. It's got good two-plane break. It's got high spin rates, over 2,600 RPM spin last spring. It's got like 15-16 inches of depth. It's got 10 inches of glove side movement. And he also throws it from a really steep approach angle. That's not like a number that I really have bared down on a ton in the past, but just after having some conversations with some pro pitching guys, the vertical approach angle is like right at negative 10. His release height on the curveball is much higher than his other pitches, so I wonder if there is some like deception and just release point consistency he might need to clean up against better hitters. But the angle he creates on top of the movement and the power and his ability to land that reasonably well, I think allows it to play pretty solidly. So I'll take Cam Leiter's curveball and have a pretty well-rounded pitcher at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great pick. He was my 1-1 for the curveball category. You, I think, hit on all the key points with him. It's another pitch for me that's a plus offering. It's a hammer breaking ball, a lot of depth with tons of sharp downward bite to it. We'll use it against both righties and lefties, and last year I think it generated a 46% miss rate. So I think with Leiter, in a similar breath to someone like an AJ Russell, there are some question marks going into this year, like how much is he going to pitch?
Yeah.
What is it going to look like when he's healthy? Like, can he command it a little bit better? But like, if he's on the mound and healthy and he ups the competitive pitch percentage, I think, across the board. There's a lot to like with Leiter. And I think right now, I mean, he's got legit first round upside if he can go on the mound and stay healthy and again, throw strikes at a little bit more of an impressive clip. But you can make the argument that one day he's going to have 3+ pitches. Cause for me, the fastball right now is an easy 55. The slider is also going to really flash.
Mm-hmm.
The changeup that he only threw, I think 11% of the time last year, he's still getting feel for it, but that's another pitch that, you know, showed some intriguing characteristics. So,
yeah.
And I mean, you're leaving the yard with at least 355s and a six, potentially 2 sixes and a 55. You catch him on the right day. So,
yeah.
Really exciting arm.
And Leiter is the fourth of the players that I dubbed priority players in this exercise. So I had Cam Cannarella, who you took with 3 different categories. Jamie Arnold, I had him in 3 different categories. I had Cam in fastball, slider, and curveball categories. And then I had Tyler Bremner in changeup and command. So all of my priority guys are gone. So at least I labeled them correctly since they went off the board pretty quickly.
Yeah, that arm is an absolute freakazoid. But I'm going to stick in my arm category, because I think where I'm going to go with the rest of this arsenal, I think having a solid strike throwing foundation of command and control is ultra important, not just for my creative player, but also in general. So I'm going to take Ryan Prager's control from Texas A&M. And I think that's another category that is on the more thin side and even thinner now that guys like Jamie Arnold and Tyler Bremner are off the board. So I had to go with him, because if I didn't, I had like 2 guys that are way deep cuts, but outstanding strike thrower, especially last year. He walked only 20 guys across 97 and 2/3 innings. I think it was 1.8 walks per 9, 45 career walks in 157 innings, pounds the zone and is around the zone with his entire arsenal. Just a really impressive track record of strike throwing and pitchability. So if I want my guy to be able to stick in the rotation, he's got to have the command and control of someone like a Ryan Prager.
Yeah, that's a good pick. He was the next guy on my list for command. So you've stolen one from me here. Okay. I'm not sure exactly which area I'm going to go towards now. So I'm obviously not picking control anytime soon. I'm not taking slider. So the 2 categories that neither of us have hit are run and arm. Is that correct?
Yeah. So for what it's worth, for arm, I'm not conceding it, but I've got a guy that I think I know the route you're going to take. I thought I was going to nail it with the Jays pick with the power, but
yeah. Okay. Interesting. I'm not sure
conceding the arm.
I'm not sure if my arm, I did like a reasonably deep dive on a number of players and watched a lot of synergy film to see like which arms excited me. There was one that I think the arm is better than I thought it was going in, and I'm really excited to take it. Oh. I also have a runner who I don't know if he's a deep cut. Like when I say it, it'll make a lot of sense. So I think it also might be the loudest pure tool available. So I might just go with my run and feel comfortable that I got a burner here. I don't know how deep your run tool grade is, but yeah, I guess for my slugger with Nolan Schubart's power, I'm also going to add Michael Gupton's speed.
Oh, good call.
So Michael Gupton is going to play with Samford this spring. He started his college career with NC State, transferred to Gulf Coast Community College for his sophomore year. He has not done a ton in college, and I think there are real questions about is he ever going to hit? Like, yeah, like really everything else. But he is one of the more impressive runners I've ever seen. It's a no doubt 80 for me. I mean, this guy was like a legit track runner in high school, and he could have competed. I mean, he did compete in track at a very high level. Everyone makes fun of the PG national 60 times. I think they're always fairly juiced. But he does have the record for the fastest perfect game national 60 time. And even though I don't believe what it actually was, because it's like a silly number on
was
their
it like sub 6, maybe
it was 5.96. So I mean, that's like a record breaking in the world sort of time.
Yeah.
But he's clearly an 80, even if you want to say that number was a little bogus. Like he brought out his track shoes to run this. I've got a video on Twitter of him running this now. He is a little bit more physical now, but I haven't heard anything other than he's still an 80 grade runner. His Twitter account is funny because his like name on Twitter is just fastest with a period.
That's tough. I like
that. So I've got a guy with confidence in his speed who can absolutely fly. I think it's a legitimately 80 grade tool. So even though there are some questions about like Michael Gupton as a baseball player and a prospect, I think this is like a pretty no-brainer loud tool to grab. So I'll just take that one.
That's an outstanding pick. That's that might be this year's and in the same tool as well. That might be this year's version of my Darian Pendergrass from last year.
Yeah, I think it's just the run tool is probably the easiest to go for a deep cut because there are always a lot of runners who are truly elite runners who are not the best baseball prospects.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he does this spring with Sanford, if he can kind of show some improvement as a hitter, but he can run a race.
No doubt. And I'm not going to make it boring and take Pendergrass again this year, even though he's back at Charleston. Like, he's a 70 runner, but I can't be boring. Let's see here. My pitching wise, I'm fine because everything else that I need is still on the board.
Yep.
So, and power wise, I've got my guy.
Yeah. The only other uncontested is arm. If you want to just take your pick of the arm.
When spring training arrives, major league teams know that they have to have depth. They have to have contingency plans. No major league team goes into the season planning to have 5 starters make all the starts. Being prepared for life and life's events is even more important, which is why I have life insurance through SelectQuote to protect my family's financial future. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers, including me, find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that cost you more and cover you less. While SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and to be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work with carriers that can give you the same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/BA. Go to SelectQuote.com/BA today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/BA.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, and I'm going to take Gavin Turley's arm in the outfield.
Oh, okay. I didn't have him down. That's a good one, though. I should have.
Oh, interesting. I'm curious to see the route that you go. I had a couple of others, one of which is a deep cut, but he's got a plus arm in right field. Big-time arm strength, can really let it rip. It's got good carry to and through the base when I saw him, both in IO and during the game. I left the yard with a 6 on it and felt pretty good about it. So not much to say other than that. I'll take his arm strength. I was thinking, though, when you were bringing up Gupton and then some of these other guys, like especially on the base pass, like if you gave like Gupton the instincts of someone like a Kane Kepley, like how much that would play up. And
yeah,
we could just go like crazy deep on it. But to circle back, I'll take Turley's arm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Let's see, where am I going to go next? I've got to fill out slider and command for my pitcher. I've got to fill out hit and field and arm for my hitter. I think I'll just grab my hitter because there's two options here. I was hoping you weren't going to take one of, well, I had Cannarella 3 on my hit tool list. I had two guys in front of them. One was like maybe trying to get a little too cute, but the top guy I think is going to be fairly obvious for you, Peter. I'm going to go with Caden Bodine, Coastal Carolina catcher. I think his pure contact skills are some of the best in the class. He had an 88.8% overall contact rate a year ago. Last spring with Coastal Carolina, he had a 93.3% in zone contact rate. He's a guy who's always hit over 300. He hit pretty well with Team USA. I mean, it is a smaller conference, so it's not the same as doing it in the SEC or the ACC, but he's a career 346, 432, 564 hitter. His career strikeout rate is 8.1%. He's walked more frequently than he struck out at 12%. So even though I don't think it's like a JJ Weatherholt or Travis Bezzana sort of hit tool, I'm not really sure that one of those hit tools exists in this class.
I don't think it does.
So I'll feel good layering on a ton of bat to ball skill with Nolan Schubart power. I think that could wind up being a pretty positive outcome in general. So that's my hit tool.
That's a great pick. He was right there for me at 1-1, and I opted for Cannarella, but that's a great pick. Let's see. Fastball, curveball, changeup. You know what? I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path with my changeup and take left-hander Cade Crossland's changeup from Oklahoma. Probably a lesser-known guy, at least right now. He was at Weatherford Junior College last spring, worked a 2.37 ERA with 100 Ks in 68 innings, had a brief stint up on the Cape, but changeup for him is easily the best pitch in his arsenal, and for me, it's one of the best of its kind in this year's draft, and I feel extra confident about it when I pair that with the control of someone like a Ryan Prager, who also was in my changeup category. He was actually my third guy for changeups.
Okay.
Behind Bremner and Cross, and I'm sure he was on there for you as well. But
he was not on there for my changeup, but that's a good one. I didn't have Prager or Crossland here. I'll tell you my other two guys. I had Justin Mitrovic at Elon, and I had Joseph Jerwa from Michigan State.
Nice
changeup picks. So
Jerwa's a great one. Same with Mitrovic. I like Jerwa as well, just as a prospect in general. But with Crossland, again, when the command and control with him can be a little bit iffy and escape him at times. But I feel now extra confident in it, giving him Ryan Prager's pitch ability, but sits in the high 70s to low 80s, separates well and plays well off of his fastball, drops the slot a little bit when delivering it, but it consistently flashes a ton of late tumbling life and also some fade to the arm side. It's a legit swing and miss pitch. It's got that kind of like falling off the table late tumbling life. I was a huge fan of it when I saw it live this summer. Easy six for me. I know it's not the sexiest name or the most notable prospect. I think for me is kind of a fits in that like fourth to seventh round bucket. Could pitch his way higher than that if he starts and performs for Oklahoma this spring, but I'm a big fan of the pitch, so I'm happy getting it here.
Yeah, and I don't think it doesn't really make sense to me to just take really prominent players for this exercise. It'd be pretty boring if we were just taking like consensus first rounders that we might not be getting the best tools at all these categories. So I like that deep cut pick. Definitely not a guy that I had on my board here. Okay, so the tools I still need to fill out. I need to basically get a defensive profile for my player. I need fielding and arm for my hitter. I need a slider and command for my pitcher. I think I'm going to go towards the hitter here. I'm going to grab my fielding, and I'm going to, this actually works out well because one of my options for an arm was a catcher, but for my fielding ability, I'm going to go with Luke Stevenson at North Carolina. Nice. Just heard a lot of good things about Luke Stevenson recently. I think he does everything well to stick behind the plate. I think he's got a really great makeup. He can receive, he can block, he can move around. So I don't know that this is like the most premium defensive catcher we've ever seen, but I'm mostly just trying to lock up this profile to pair with my arm. If you have any extra thoughts on Luke Stevenson, you can throw them out. It's not like as sexy as a fielding pick as your Merrick Houston by any means. I'm just trying to make up for it with the profile, I guess, more than anything. But I think Stevenson is a very solid catch and throw guy, maybe above average. I'm not sure if you have him a little more exciting than that, but I just think he does everything well defensively behind the plate. I think he's got a solid arm, although I'm not taking his arm tool specifically. But the on-field skills and like the off-field makeup and work ethic and baseball IQ, I think is pretty solid to have for a defensive catcher. So I'll be excited to get Stevenson here. And I'm kind of excited to get Stevenson just on the board and to talk about him in general, because I think you could probably say that he doesn't have he doesn't scream to me like a super toolsy player right now. I think he does everything really well and could end up going in a great spot in the draft. He's going to be a big up arrow name on our next update. Like, he's pretty solid in the first round, and I think for a lot of people, he's the best catcher in the class. We don't have him in that spot now, but he'll be there shortly. So Luke Stevenson is my fielding tool.
Yeah, he's my number one catcher in the class as well. I'm happy that you got him on the board, selfishly for the reasons that you said. It gives us an excuse to talk about him. But yeah. Like you said, I think he just does everything really well behind the plate. For me, it's easy 55 defense, definitely closer to a 6 than it is a 55. Just really good catch and throw skills, above average arm, consistently quick transfers, throws through the base. He's shown he can handle a high level pitching staff, and I think there's a really appealing quietness to how he operates behind the dish, moves really well, and great receiver, steals strikes and works below the baseball. Just a lot to like. And he's not a one tool and a one trick guy, though. I mean, he can swing it. He's got an all fields approach, sprays line drives all over the yard. There's advanced barrel sense there. He can impact the baseball. It's probably 55 power to the pull side. Like, if you want a somewhat sleeper, definite sleeper, but I don't know how deep of a sleeper you can call him, because he's a slam dunk first rounder, but like an outside looking in 1-1 guy. I mean, if
he's your dark horse 1-1. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he really hits this year at UNC, and I think he could, like, he's going to get floated around potentially in those conversations. I don't think he ends up going there, but that's a name who could be floated around. So great pick. I also had him there in my fielding category, along with one other guy. But for my hitter to round him out, or not to round him out, because I still got to give him a run tool, but I'll take Jace Lavallette's raw power. And he already does a great job of getting to it in game, but he can really impact the baseball. It's a swing that's geared towards getting the ball up in the air and doing damage. But posted a max EV last year of 116 or 115.7. And let's see how many home runs he hit. He hit, 29 jacks last year. He's got 52 his name in his college career. It's plus power to all fields, probably. It's a 70, no doubt, to the pull side, but fastball line drive percentage was right around 62% last year, and pulls the ball in the air. So big time raw power. And then I also feel extra confident with this player being able to get to it in game with the hit ability of someone like a Cam Cannarella.
Yeah. How crazy is it that we've gotten this deep into the podcast and this is the first Jace Lavallette tool that we've taken?
I kind of like it, though, because it means like I don't think we've gone very chalky, I will say.
Yeah, I don't think we have either. Certainly not in terms of names. I don't know in terms of tools, but okay. You've got, so what do you have to fill out? You have to fill out run.
Fastball, curveball.
Okay. I probably should get my slider just in case you happen to take my pick for slider for my pitcher. So that feels like the safest course of action.
I popped Jamie Arnold for my slider.
You popped him for your slider. But I don't want you, this guy also has a good fastball. So I don't want you to take him. And I was actually debating, I'll tell you after you round out your pitcher, but I'm going to go with, Kyson Witherspoon's slider. Nice. So Kyson, I think that this pitch is probably conservatively a plus pitch. It's a very hard breaking ball with sort of a bullet shape. It's not a ton of movement. He averages around 85 with it, has been up to 90, 91 miles per hour with that pitch. Spins at a solid rate, 2300. But it's just really hard, really sharp. Like visually, it's not a pitch that you're going to see from behind the plate or watching on TV where it's like super exciting optically. But I think it's going to get a lot of swing and miss in the zone. It's going to be a pitch that he can throw to batters of both sides. And really for me, I thought about taking Malachi Witherspoon's slider because I think in a vacuum, that actually might be a better breaking ball. It's more spin. It's a little bit more glove side movement. But he's really super erratic with the pitch, and so I don't think it's played quite as well in game. Maybe in this exercise, that's the pitcher or the pitch you take, just because I'm going to have someone with better command than Malachi. But with Kyson's slider, he generated a 37% miss rate with the pitch. He threw it for strike 60% of the time. It's not a Chase Burns slider. I'm not sure if we have a slider that's quite that good in this class, but I think it's a solidly plus breaking ball, and so I'll happily add it to my AJ Russell fastball, Cam Leiter curve, and Tyler Bremner change. And actually, for my pitchers, I got all of my number one players in each category for those pitch types. I'm not sure who you had number one in yours, but it's kind of cool to see looking across my board here.
That I was going to say, that's got to be pretty satisfying. Solid pick with Kyson slider. I'm curious to see if you had any of these other guys in your slider category, because I got my 1-1 with Jamie Arnold. Kyson was in there for me.
Yeah.
But my... right there with Jamie Arnold at 2 and 3 respectively, I had Derek Smith from NC State and Ben Abelt from TCU.
Okay, that's a good one. I thought about putting Ben Abelt. I didn't have Derek Smith in consideration, but that makes a lot of sense. Slider felt like the least convicted I was in any category. Maybe slider and curveball. I really was not super confident in either of those pitch types. I just don't think we have like the true bangers in that category that we did a year ago.
Yeah, Derek Smith's is really impressive. He's got an advanced feel for it, sharp two-planer, 61% whiff rate last year, and I think it held opponents to a 0.058 batting average. So, I mean, pair that with the pitch's traits and then also the feel that Smith has. Well, I guess the command and control of like Ryan Prager mm-hmm. now, but really impressive pitch. And then Abelt is a little bit in the mold of like a Jamie Arnold in the sense that he's this lower slot guy with this longer, sweepier breaking ball. It's not on the tier that a Jamie Arnold, mm-hmm. that Jamie Arnold's is, but still a really impressive pitch for me. And let's see, I'll take my run tool last, and I'm down to, I'm like going back and forth here on my fastball. So I'm going to buy myself a little bit more time and take, okay. Joe Areola's curveball.
Okay.
From Wake Forest. I know that might be a little bit more of a, not a sleeper name, but he's an arm that I've become a fan with, especially after this summer. Got a few good looks of him, on the Cape, and like a handful of the pitchers that we've mentioned. The key for him this year is just being around the zone and upping the competitive pitch rate, because the stuff with him is very, very real. And with this curveball, it's an upper 70s to low 80s pitch, high spin, consistently it'll flash big time depth with tons of sharp downward teeth. The shape will kind of vary, and at times it'll look the part of a true 12 to 6 hammer. And then at others, more of like a two plane-ish 11 to 5 type look, but it's effective mm-hmm. against both lefties and righties, 48% whiff rate, and 37% chase rate over the summer. I gave it a 60 when I saw it. I got him on a good day, but I was really impressed with him, especially when he was competing around the zone. So I think that's a guy to have circled heading into the spring.
Yeah, that's a good one too. All right, so I'm down to just the arm for my hitter and command for my pitcher. Man, it really does feel like malpractice to wait this long to grab control and command for your pitcher, because that's, like you said, it just ties everything together. It's so important. All three of my top three options for this category are off the board. I had Tyler Bremner 1, I had Jamie Arnold 2, I had Ryan Prager 3, who you took for this category. So I'm going to have to go to number 4, and I'm going to take Anthony Ianson from UC San Diego. He's a right-handed pitcher. He played a little with Team USA. I think this one is probably more, if we're doing just control here, I think it's probably a little bit better. If we're doing command, maybe it's not the most exciting option. But I do think just in terms of walk rate, he's been really solid. He had a 6.5% walk rate during the 2023 season, a 7.5% walk rate in 2024. He's pretty athletic on the mound, moves pretty well. I think it's a solid operation in general. Last spring is a 66% strike rate overall. He throws the fastball, curveball, and slider all pretty well for strikes, pretty consistently. He only threw the changeup 3% of the time, and that strike rate for that pitch did fall off to 53%. So I'm not sure if that's just a pitch he just doesn't have a ton of confidence in or what. But I think that's a solid control piece. Certainly not like a Jamie Arnold, or at least maybe it's closer than I'm making it out to be here. But I'm happy to get Ianson's control. I think there are some people who think he's just really athletic and can repeat pretty well.
Yeah, really good arm. Body control is excellent on the mound. I'm excited to see him pitch in LSU's rotation this spring. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and highly advanced strike thrower, really knows how to pitch. So that's a solid pick. Oh man, fastball. I'm down to two guys. And like, I know that might sound weird.
You have fastball and a run tool. Is that right?
Yep. Fastball and a run tool. I'm down to two in each category. I lean more heavily in the run category, but this is tough.
And I had four options for fastball. I had AJ Russell at the top. Then I had Jamie Arnold. Then I had Cam Leiter. My fourth is still available. I'll be curious if it's the guy that one of the two you're considering.
I got a feeling it is, man. Oh, come on, Pete.
Well, I'm not taking any more pitch tools, Peter. So whoever you take is fine.
I'll disclose the guy I was wrestling with after, because it's probably the more like, I guess, now that like I'm talking about it. All right, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna go with Liam Doyle's fastball.
Hey, that's who I had. Nice. I like it. Yes, love that.
So it's the best pitch in his arsenal. He's a really fun arm in general. Like, he's another arm.
He's another riser on next update. Yep.
Yeah, if he goes out and does it and performs for Tennessee this spring, like, he's gonna go really good. But it's been up to 96. Plays well up in the zone and plays up. It's got a ton of riding life. He can cut it. He can ride it. Jumps out of the hand. I think last year it averaged almost 20 inches a carry. He does a good job of playing to the pitch's strengths, and I guess this part of it is kind of irrelevant because I've got Prager's control, but Doyle himself, he does a nice job of locating it in the top half of the zone, which is where it's at its best, and consistently gets over the barrels of opposing hitters and generates a lot of empty swings. So last year it generated a really impressive 35% miss rate and a 33% chase rate. And then those numbers are impressive enough, but I think they become a little bit more so when you consider the fact that he threw the pitch almost 2/3 of the time. He threw it at a 63% clip, no doubt 60, a lot of fun characteristics. He can cut it. He can cut it. He can ride it. Super fun offering. But the other one that I was wrestling with a lot was actually, was Jacob Mayer's.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have him down.
Yeah. LSU by way of Nichols State. Like a lot of unicorn type traits with him. The command and the command for Mayer's is generously like a 40, but probably like a 35, but up to 97 from the numbers that we've got.
I find his IVB numbers cannot possibly be accurate. This like cut ride fastball is insane.
But, yeah. I mean, it's like ski ball, but like, I won't even disclose the number. But I mean, from a 7-foot release height, it's like mid 90s with upwards and over 20 inches of ride. But crazy, crazy heater. And I think last year with Mayer's, I'll look at it because I just had it pulled up. But he threw the pitch 91% of the time last year at Nichols State, and it generated a 35% whiff rate and a 30% end zone whiff rate. But he can't really the strike throwing is a real.
Hey, you got Ryan Prager's control. That's not an issue. We're just taking saving tools here.
I'm really happy with Doyle's. That's another plus heater for me. And I think, at least from this chair, it's one of the more impressive fastballs in the draft this year. So I'm
trying to pull up Jacob Mayer's right now to watch him throw, because the release point seems super high for him.
It's six foot five. Over the top.
6'5", we have it like 83-85 inches in that range, and that it's kind of silly metrics and numbers here. I'm just watching him throw right now. Yeah, it really is straight over the top, but Man, yeah, both two really good options here for, I don't know where they were at on your list specifically, but yeah, I like both of them.
Mayors was like my fun, like,
yeah,
kind of wonky-ish name, but yeah, I'm happy to get Doyle. Doyle was right there for me at the top.
Okay, so this is my final tool here coming up. I'm rounding out my hitter with an arm tool. This is actually, I've got my top three players in this category still on the board again. I probably should have had Gavin Turley in the mix. I didn't. I'm going to go with my number three option, though, just to match a catcher at, like, for my fielding tool with a catcher who throws. So I'm going to go with Ike Irish's arm. Not like a deep cut or anything, but I do just think he has a plus arm right now. I've talked to some scouts who think that his arm will become a 70 in the future. He's got great carry with the pitch. I just had this up and then I moved away because I was looking up Jacob Meyer's numbers. But I think last summer he threw out, he didn't play a ton in the Cape. 34 games, that's a decent sample. He threw out 36% of runners there. He caught 8 runners, 14 stole against him. His numbers at Auburn, let's see if I can pull these up really quickly. So he threw out 9 of 30 at Auburn last spring. But I just think in general, a lot of really good carry. There's power to the throw when it goes down to second base. Just seems like an easy plus arm now that could be better. So I feel pretty comfy with Luke Stevenson's fielding and Ike Irish's arm. My other two arms, the arm that I was most excited about, but I just don't think it makes sense when I got a catcher for my defense tool, was Max Bellew at Texas. He was number one on my board. I watched a lot of his throws. He has great carry on his throws and a lot of, like, really impressive accuracy that I was impressed to see. So if I was able to get Cannarella for my fielder, I would have taken Max Bellew's arm to go with it. And then if I'd gotten Merrick Houston's field, I would have tried to get Dean Curley's arm at Tennessee. So I think Dean Curley has a pretty easy plus arm as well. So those were my arm options now that we're both fully off the board there.
Yeah, I like the Dean Curley pick, the Ike Irish, snagging Ike Irish as well and matching them positionally just from an aesthetic standpoint, I think is a good call. It's a 55, probably a 6 arm right now, plenty of arm strength and defensive questions with him, especially behind the plate, but
yep,
at least collegiately, there aren't a lot that are like legit pro defensive ready catchers. Like, there's going to be work to be done more or less with everyone. It's just a matter of who has a little bit more than others. I think Irish falls into that latter bucket, but they'll work with him behind the plate. The arm strength plays. Curley was another name that I had for my arm. And then the like fun deep cut name that I had for my arm was actually Brody Dene at Florida. He also fits like kind of in the raw power category. Like, it's from a raw power standpoint, it's a no doubt 7. It's just he doesn't make contact at all. Mm-hmm. I am going to beat this drum to death, but I got to see that kid on the mound. Like, I think he'd be such an effective late inning bullpen arm. Like, I mean, it's 70 arm strength. It's just behind the plate, it's really clunky, and he's kind of been relegated to to DH first base. And they tried to stick him in a corner outfield this summer, but the actions didn't really translate. But the arm strength is, man, it's legit. He's got to get on the mound. Let's see, to kind of close it out here. I'll take Cam Maldonado from Northeastern. I'll take his run tool. Plus runner, especially when he's underway. I think he maximizes his run tool's effectiveness. He's established a track record of being an effective base dealer across 104 college games. He's swiped 60 bags. He's 60 for 66. And then if you throw summer ball into that bucket, in 185 games, he swiped 89 bags. Nick Dumanil was someone that I also had in that category, was an outstanding runner this summer on the Cape.
Your volume of stolen bases is much better than mine. Like, I think Michael Gupton had like 18 bags in JUCO last year and didn't really play with NC State as a freshman. So
if you like watch Gupton run, he's impossible to match. And then if you want to get fun and give him the instincts of someone like a Kane Kepley, like that's an easy 80 runner in game as well. But yeah, I'll take Maldonado. I feel good. He's a plus runner, not like a true like burner type of guy, but legit plus runner when he's underway and an effective base dealer. So that's it.
Cool. All right, let's run through our players on both sides just to recap it really quick, and then we can also talk about any other players who we didn't pick who got left over. But so my hitter, I have Caden Bodine's hit tool at Coastal Carolina. I've got Nolan Schubart's power at Oklahoma State. I've got Michael Gupton's run tool at Samford. I've got Luke Stevenson's defensive ability at North Carolina. I've got Ike Irish's arm at Auburn. Let's run through your hitter really quickly.
For my hit tool, I've got Cam Cannarella at Clemson, raw power, Jace Lavallette, Texas A&M, arm, Gavin Turley, Oregon State, field, Merrick Houston, shortstop at Wake Forest, run, Cam Maldonado at Northeastern.
Awesome. And then for our pitchers, I've got AJ Russell's fastball at Tennessee. I've got Kyson Witherspoon's slider at Oklahoma. I've got Cam Leiter's curveball at Florida State. I've got Tyler Bremner's changeup at UC Santa Barbara. And I've got Anthony Ianson's command and control at LSU.
Legit arm. Pitcher, I've got Liam Doyle's fastball from Tennessee. Joe Areola's curveball from Wake Forest. Cade Crossland out of Oklahoma's changeup. Florida State's Jamie Arnold's slider. And then Texas A&M's Ryan Prager's control.
Nice. Okay, so... One player that I like wanted to get in here, I always talked about Max Bellew at arm at Texas, Dean Curley, Tennessee arm, Kane Kepley, I thought about for hit tool. Actually, his batted ball data at Liberty last year is silly. The one kind of reservation is a smaller conference, and his summer performance wasn't exceptional, but I've also heard really good things from him in the fall. Other candidates I had in the hit tool category were Henry Godbout at Virginia, Gavin Killen at Tennessee, Devin Taylor at Indiana, who I think actually could fit in like hit and power. He's probably the most prominent prospect that we didn't have picked just off the top of my head. Brendan Summerhill at Arizona was another guy I had. Like the hitting category for me was the deepest. Any other hitters you considered?
I had Cannarella. Godbout was my second name, or Bodine was my second name. Godbout was my third. Anthony Martinez from UC Irvine, I also had.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And then Kepley, I actually had as like a break in case of emergency fielder. And I would feel extra good about it. Like if I had to use him in my fielding category and I had the arm of Turley, I'd actually feel really good about it.
Yeah.
The instincts that he has, that he displays in all facets of his game, but especially in the outfield, are really, really impressive. Super quick first step, highly advanced baseball sense. He's got gap to gap range with good closing speed and gets outstanding reads off the bat. Like the arm is fringy out there, but the instincts help compensate for it. But if I gave, like, for the sake of this exercise, if you give him Gavin Turley's arm out there in center field like that, I mean, that's an unbelievable defensive package in center field. So
yeah,
he's a fun player just in general and a big up arrow guy to watch. Curveball, I also had Cam Leiter. I also had Kate Anderson from LSU.
He was my number two on my curveball. Yeah.
Kate. Yeah. High spin offering, big time depth with teeth.
The one wild card curveball I had, was Noah Tchaikovsky at Pitt. He was at St. Bonaventure's for two. Yeah. So hit, I don't know that his curveball has been like super effective, but
it
has
like 3,100 RPMs.
Yeah, it was one of the highest pure spin rate curveballs from any college pitcher we have data for a year ago. The depth of the pitch is just ludicrous. It literally looks like the curveball does not believe in physics with how much turn is on this pitch. But it literally might be one of those pitches where it moves so much that it's like a little easier to track. So that was one I wanted to mention. I had Mitrovich and Jirwa for changeup. Two other power guys. I assumed Schubart and Laviolette would be the powers, but I also had Ethan Petrie at South Carolina and Henry Ford at Virginia down here. Number two on my run board who didn't get picked was Chris Cole at Kennesaw State, another like lower profile prospect, but he's, I think, probably a 70 grade runner, left-handed hitter, long lean, gets out of the box, runs pretty quickly. And I think those are all, like, everyone that we've talked about I had on the board. Is there anyone else that you want to mention that you had for any of these categories?
Yeah, raw power. I also had Henry Ford and Petrie. I also had Brandon Compton from Arizona State. I know he's one of my kind of prospect crushes, but
yeah,
from a raw power standpoint, it's a easy six approaching a seven. It's really impressive. But I think we hit on everyone. Bremner was dinged off of three categories. Like, I had him right there for fastball. Obviously changeup, he was my 1-1, and then he also fit into the control bucket.
Mm-hmm.
A deeper cut control guy that I had as like that break in case of emergency, to a greater extent, was Cross Sively from Southern Miss. Across 121 career innings, only he's walked 21 guys, just pounds the strike zone with his entire arsenal, like consistently around and in the zone. Outstanding track record of throwing strikes. So I was going to go with him if you had taken a name or two,
yeah,
in another category.
Awesome. Well, as always, this exercise is super fun. Let us know which players you're most excited about. Let us know if there are any tools that you guys think are big and loud that you think maybe we should have considered. But we'll be back maybe next week and do this version, run it back for the high school players in the class. But Peter, I guess final thoughts, and then we can get out of here. It's been we're over an hour, which is not the most common thing for us on the draft pod.
Hey, I won't go. I love it. But final thoughts, I think this reinforced why it's like one of, if not my personal favorite episodes that we do. Just mm-hmm. such a blast preparing for it and talking through all the guys. I love that we got a handful of names in the mix. So a ton of fun all around. And I am looking forward to next week with the high school guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll echo those thoughts just all together. And thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting Baseball America. Ton of stuff coming up on the site this week. January is one of our busiest months. We got international coverage. We've got prospect content rolling out. We've got college preview rolling out. We've got draft updates coming. So really, whatever avenue of the game or area of the game you're most excited about and interested, we've got plenty of stuff. And college season will be here shortly. We'll be actually talking about what's happening on the field, which is going to be phenomenal. But sincerely, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting. For Peter, I'm Carlos. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.